manger. This was going to destroy Satan's hopes and plans. And when he didn't stop him in the manger, he tried to tempt him and tried to get him to bow down and thought he could defeat him there. And then when he died, he thought for sure that was the final victory. But we have a living Savior who was not defeated. We're here this morning, part three of our Christmas series. Our theme verse is 2 Corinthians 9:15. And you can turn your Bibles, if you'd like to Luke chapter 2. We're not going to be spending all that much time in just that one verse, but we are going to be in that chapter some. But this morning is the gift is wrapped. And if you just kind of think of the progression of buying a gift and shopping for a gift, the first part we did a couple weeks ago was the gift was shopped for, that Jesus came to seek and to save you and I. Last week we looked at the gift is paid for, and it was Christ that paid us for our salvation through his life, and he was willing to pay it. And we love gifts, and whether you get a new tie or a pair of shoes or pair of pants or a gift that you really like or that new car that your wife is going to get you this year that you've been having your eye on or new truck, whatever it is, we enjoy receiving Christmas gifts. But I want to tell you, nothing that you're going to receive is going to match this indescribable gift that we've been looking at. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Just keep in mind this inexpressible, this indescribable gift. Father, this morning we are grateful that we can come to you, that we can bow down and adore you. Lord, help us to keep in mind as we go through the season, Lord, to that behind-the-scenes stuff that certainly was taking place for the 9 months that Mary carried you, for the night you were born. I imagine that Satan was doing everything he could to destroy the baby. And Lord, we don't think about that. We just read the story. It seems like a nice, calm night. The angels were out there on the hillside and all of that. But Lord, the behind-the-scenes stuff that is not really in Scripture, but we are sure was taking place, that you proved yourself to be our Savior. And we are so thankful for that. In Jesus' name, amen. God said that he was going to give this great gift thousands of years before it ever came about, and it was 2,000 years or so since that happened. And we know from John 3:16, which we looked at kind of in depth. Remember, I had John 3:16 up here, that the greatest gift, the greatest offer, the greatest but, but those who receive him, the greatest offer. He gave his son so that sinners could take part with this indescribable gift. And today, I want to look at two times in Jesus' life when he was wrapped. So the first one is in Luke chapter 2, verse 7. I could have put these verses up here. I just didn't do it, but they are in your notes. And she gave birth to a son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. We read that part, that verse, every year. That's kind of our verse that we think about, that Jesus was born, and we talk about him being wrapped in swaddling cloths. That was at the beginning of his life. If you look down then at, or not back, but not down, but back to Luke chapter 23, and if you, again, you want to turn back there, you can, but the verse is written in your notes there. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down. This is after Jesus had died, and he wrapped it in a linen cloth and shrouded him and laid him in a tomb cut in stone where no one had ever been laid. So we see him wrapped in cloths and laid in a manger. We see him at the end of his life wrapped in death cloths and laid in a tomb. So we're going to talk this morning about this gift that's wrapped. I've told you before, I married a professional gift wrapper, and I've told you just a couple weeks ago, spent a little time talking about how she worked at Bon Ton for several seasons, and she is amazing. She can make any gift look beautiful, but she's married to me, and that sounds terrible. That sounds terrible. Not that she's trying to make me wrapped up and look beautiful. Honestly, that wouldn't work. She's not that good of a gift wrapper. But you know, I could take and I'm not. I don't do this to play stupid. I know some guys pretend that they can't cook or can't run the vacuum or something to get out of doing the job. I would love to be able to help her wrap. She spent the other day wrapping gifts, and I was able to help her. I put my finger in the middle of the bow so she could tie it. So I was good at that. But I have tried. I think she would be honest and say that, yes, he does try. I could have a little ring box or a jewelry box, you know, a little thing that big, square. And I could have a 4x4 piece of paper. And she would cut it for me, and she would give me extra paper. And by the time I'm done wrapping that little box, you'd still be able to see the corners. I guess it'd probably just be better just to pull the paper around it and tie a string around it or something. But I can't tie that. I could give Cheryl that same 4x4 piece of paper, and she could wrap a Boeing 747 and still have paper left. I don't know how she does it. I can't do it. I'm just not good at it. I'm not even sure if she's going to remember this, but years ago, we had friends down who were youth leaders in our first church in Reading, Rob and Bonnie. And Rob is just an I don't care type. He's a hunter, and everything's fine for Rob. And we got them something. We exchanged gifts with them, and I wrapped Rob's gift in a box with duct tape, with red duct tape and green duct tape going around it. And I don't even remember that. And after Cheryl, if she remembers that, but she apologized to the family. She said, Rob, I'm sorry. So I should have wrapped it. And Rob goes, this is awesome. It's Christmassy. It's red and green. I love it. Now, see, guys don't have a problem with that. But my wife, being the professional rapper, she did have a problem with that. But I did look up this week. So you can see reasons why we wrap. To conceal what's in the box. We don't want people to know right away what's there. To present the gift in a pleasing way. That's good. To enhance anticipation, we used to always joke. Cheryl's grandmother, my mother-in-law's mother, it was just painful, painful, painful to sit while she opened the gift. She would say, "Hand me the snip, or the snips or the shears." I can't remember what she would say. And she would take time and she would cut each piece of tape, and it was just driving us nuts because we're just used to tearing and stuff, open it and rip it. But she would cut it down. And before she would even open the package, she would fold up the paper nice and neat so she could reuse that next year. And it just drove us crazy. But to enhance anticipation, we were anticipating her just finally opening this gift, getting it done with. But we enhance anticipation by people not being able to see what's there. To spread the festive atmosphere, to add a decorative touch for tradition's sake. I'm not sure if all those are true or if they're all great reasons or not, but that's what it says why we wrap a gift. And we all know the Bible says in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, it's better to give than to receive. And it is nice to give a gift that I haven't wrapped, but to receive a gift, it is nice, but it's fun to watch someone open a gift that is wrapped nicely. We'll be picking up Paige Tuesday, and she'll come home and wrap her gifts Tuesday night and Wednesday, I guess. But she's got the gift of her mom. Cameron and Spencer are more like their dad. Their wrapping's pretty bad. But today we do want to look at what does this wrapping of the gift mean? Why are we looking at Jesus being wrapped? What does that mean? So we're going to look at first here, and I have them all in your notes. You don't have to write anything down other than maybe some things that might speak to you. What we're looking at first, the chosen wrapping. I don't know if you know this or if you believe this or not. Some people teach that the swaddling cloths and the death cloths both represented the fact that Jesus was king. And again, depending on who you look at, depending on what theologian you listen to and what you believe, some teach that back in Bible times, having swaddling clothing, having the cloths, only was to the wealthy. A poorer person could not have access to swaddling cloths. But some theologians believe that even in Jesus' poverty, being born in a manger, having the swaddling cloths wrapped around him signified and represented the fact that he was still king. And obviously the death cloths, he was wrapped, and that was done for royalty. So that's what we're looking at here as we come to this chosen wrapping. I don't know how Cheryl decides on what wrapping she's going to use. She'll ask me to get some wrapping paper. She lets me wrap the boys because they don't care. They don't care what paper I choose. But I can hand Cheryl, I went down and got them the other day. She goes, go down and get the box with the wrapping paper. So I was going to bring up the tall one that sits on the floor. And she goes, no, not the one that stands up. The one with the green lid that's in the closet. She has birthday wrapping and anniversary wrapping in one box and Christmas wrapping in another. But I don't know how. I mean, they all look nice to me. You know, green and red and white's blue and gold. I don't know how she chooses it. But I never can seem to select the right one for her. She'll say, hand me one, I'll pick the wrong one. She goes, oh, no, not that one. Ask me to give the other one. So I don't know how she chooses it, but we do know that Mary knew well what she was doing. She said she wrapped him in cloths. And I want you to think about the beauty and the power of those words, the tenderness and the motherly love that's represented there. She loved this baby. She loved the Lord. And this love, this passion is best felt, I guess, by a mother who's just given birth. She's wrapping him in cloths. But I want you to see, and I have it in there, this wrapping represents three things, really. First, it held the fulfillment of the Old Testament. Every truth, every teaching, every word, every mystery that was concealed in the Old Testament is revealed in Jesus Christ, in the birth of this baby. For us to fully understand the story of Moses, for us to understand what David went through and what his decisions and his royalty and his family background, for us to understand the story of Jonah and the fish, for us to understand the Psalms, for us to understand the books of prophecy, we need to know the baby in the manger. We need to know Christ. We need to watch this child grow up. So this wrapping, being wrapped in swaddling cloths, represents the fulfillment of the Old Testament. Second, it was the wrapping contained God Almighty. And I want you to think about that. The one who created the heavens and the earth, the one who gave us the Word of God, the one who appeared to Moses and to different people throughout the Old Testament. They always talk about the pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus in the Old Testament. There were several times that he did that. That is all fulfilled in Jesus. The parting of the Red Sea, Daniel in the lion's den, all those things when Jesus, I believe he was the fourth person Nebuchadnezzar saw in the furnace. Remember, he said, how many people did we throw in there? There were three. Well, how come I see four? Many believe that that was a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus. But as I think about this baby, I think about the song, Mary, Did You Know? And I just put down some of the words. Mary, did you know that one day your son will walk on water? Mary, did you know that this baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that this baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. I love those words and just love the thought that Mark Lowry went through as he wrote that. Just so powerful. And that's probably, I don't know how many songs Mark Lowry wrote, but this is by far my favorite and by far the most doctrinally correct. It's just so beautiful that he was the great I am. And Mary, I'm not sure she fully comprehended that as she held him in her arms, but she'd wrapped this baby in the swaddling cloths. And Jesus explains to us in John that the fullness of God came in bodily form. The Word had become flesh and dwelt among us. He said of himself, he said in John 10:30, I and my Father are one. So it was the fullness of Almighty God. And then third, wrapped in cloth is the future for all who would believe. Think about that. Yours and my future, 2,000 years after the birth of Christ, is seen fulfilled in Jesus. He was going to confound the teachers in the temple. Think about that. He was going to be introduced by John. He was going to be baptized by John. He was going to live this sinless life. He was going to perform all kinds of miracles. He was going to call his disciples. He was going to die on a cross. He was going to be buried in a tomb. He was going to raise again on the third day. And all of that and also to think about him ascending. We talked about that last week. He ascended to heaven and left with us what? What was the gift that he gave us last week? The Holy Spirit. All of those things are fulfilled in this baby. So this wrapping really does entail a whole lot of different things. The chosen wrapping fulfilled the word of God. Second, the concealed gift. Many were waiting for the kingdom of God, but very few were looking for it. Okay, if I were to tell you, well, our ceiling collapsed back in July. I've been watching for it, hoping for it, waiting for it to get done. I haven't been watching every day for it because I knew Rob said he was going to be busy. When he came the first time and sent the guys and said, I'll be back in a few weeks, I was looking forward to that. And then it's been 3 months, and they just came back last week. If you can go back in, by the way, you can go in and look. The ceiling is finished. They haven't put the trim up around the outside yet, and they still need to put new lights in. And then they've got to blow in the insulation. But Rob told Russ and I, he said, maybe next week, but I'm not counting on that with Christmas. And then he said, if not this week, the next week. So we're looking forward to that, but I'm not counting on it. And that's kind of what it was. The people knew the Old Testament prophecies. The people knew that Jesus had been promised back in the Old Testament, and they were believing it, but they weren't looking for it. But the whole birth of Christ, and even the fact that it was going to be in Bethlehem to a virgin, it was all predicted. They knew that, but they weren't sure when it was going to occur. And I've thought to myself, what would I have been doing if I had been living back in Jesus' time? Would I have been looking? Would I have been anticipating? Would I have been watching? When I heard the shepherds coming through town and saying, we were there last night, Jesus was born, and these angels appeared to us, would I have believed that? Would I have thought, oh, this is the fulfillment of the scripture that I've been waiting for? I have been watching for this all my life. Would I have believed it? I would like to think that I would. I would like to think that I would have beaten the shepherds to the manger. That if I had heard them talking about that, or if I had been walking past and I heard the angel singing, I would have sprinted to the manger because I knew that he was arriving. I'm not sure that I would have done that. I'd like to think that I would have invited Mary and Joseph into my home and given them a warm place to stay. I'm not sure I would have done that either. Would I have been one who was believing that this gift, which has been hidden, is now revealed? And this is what I have up here in Romans chapter 16. It says, now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Listen to this. According to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith. It was a gift that was hidden in a mystery. It was concealed, but it was all revealed in this baby. Would I have been watching for it? Would I have been anticipating it? Would I have been believing it? And that goes along with number three, is the long anticipation. It was anticipated by some. It was watched, or it was anticipated by many, but it was watched for by several that we know of. And I have in your notes, I think, Simeon, Luke chapter 2. Let me read verse 25. It says, now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, watching and waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And then verse 26 says, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Simeon was watching. Simeon was looking for Jesus. In the midst of this nation of Jewish unbelievers and certainly the Roman Empire, there was this man, Simeon, a man who had been expecting for years the coming of the Messiah. And then the Holy Spirit says, you're not going to die. You'll get to see him. You'll get to see this one that's been promised for thousands of years. You're going to get to watch him. You're going to get to even hold. I don't know if he told him he was going to hold him, but we see in Luke chapter 2 that Simeon took him and just talked to the parents and was just thrilled. We also see that Anna was another one. She was the prophetess. It says about her in Luke chapter 2, verse 38, it says, "And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak to him and all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem." Here's Anna. She was watching, and she's talking to all those who are waiting, who else were looking for it but not anticipating it. And she says, "This is the fulfillment." Some people don't believe that Mary was watching. There's a lot of theologians who just say she was chosen by God and she consented to the birth announcement, but she wasn't really expecting to be the one who was used. We don't know whether that's true or not. But I guarantee from the moment that the baby was announced to her, for those next 9 months she was waiting, don't you think? Don't you think? Well, she's carrying this baby, she's having morning sickness, and she's going through all the things that a mother goes through in carrying a child. She was anticipating and she was watching for and she was waiting for this promised one, the long anticipation that's going to be fulfilled at the moment he was born. And all this anticipation by all of them, Simeon, Anna, Mary, was fulfilled in the birth of a baby. Number four, another reason we wrap is for to continue that festive atmosphere. And I want you to imagine for a moment the night that the fields with the shepherds were just filled with the angels. And it says in Luke chapter 2, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude in the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest." This was a festive atmosphere. I don't think it was, just a dim light. One of the angels had a flashlight kind of shining down and saying, "Hey, listen up. A baby's been born." I believe the trumpets had sounded. I believe there was some kind of music blaring. I believe that the shepherds knew for sure because it was bright lights. And they, as a matter of fact, it says they were terrified. I would have been scared too. But this wasn't just an announcement. I saw someone, I don't know whether it was someone in town or someone who just had one of those firecrackers go off to announce the birth of the sex of their child. And it was supposed to be either blue or pink. You've seen that. And the husband pulled it and it came out black smoke. I don't know if anybody saw that. And they just stood there just like, the husband just looked like, what is going on? Black smoke. That was anticipation. It was kind of let down in that festive moment. But I never did see what their actual sex of their baby was going to be. But that would be a grave disappointment if you had paid for this and you had all this family here and black smoke comes out of your reveal party. But imagine this night. I think the heavens lit up. I believe the angels were singing. I believe that the shepherds not only were fearful, but I believe they joined in the worship. I can imagine them just not just bowing down in fear at first, but bowing down in worship. Imagine the best worship service you've ever been to. Imagine the best concert you've ever been to and multiply that by about 20 times or 100 times. That's the festive atmosphere that night. A couple weeks ago, Cheryl and I, our Christmas present to each other was we were going to go see the Vienna Boys Choir in their Christmas concert. Now, you enjoyed that? Yeah, I did. It was kind of neat, not just because it was Christmas, but it was just this famous choir. It was, by the way, we checked it out, 101 years old, the boys choir was, and they were just a lot of fun, and their voices were, I don't know that I could have ever hit a note like that when I was 12, 13, 14. I mean, I was waiting for all the glassware in Corning Museum to start popping because this boy was just hitting these notes that were amazing. But it was just a fun concert, and I thought, that was so worshipful. When they hit a couple of those Christmas songs, with Mary, Did You Know? I can't remember a couple songs that we know, and a lot of them they sang in Latin, which that's not always fun for me to hear a foreign concert. But just to hear them sing some of the songs was very worshipful. And I've been to a lot of different concerts, Michael W. Smith, and you know that. And I've seen a lot of old-time concerts over the years and just have been so blessed. But imagine, again, the best concert you've been to. And think if that's what these guys experienced that night when the birth announcement came. The Son of God has been born. The Messiah that you've been waiting for. The one who's been predicted for thousands of years. The one that everybody is anticipating is now here. Imagine the festivities going on. That would have been an awesome, awesome night and an awesome, awesome sight. And then finally, we have here is, it was for tradition's sake. I'm not sure, again, why we wrap gifts for tradition's sake. If I was keeping up the tradition of my family, my mom was nothing like Cheryl. Our kids get to see beautiful gifts. My mom would wrap stuff in wax paper or aluminum foil and just put it in. And that's how I was, that was fine. And my sisters could wrap, so when I did get some gifts that were wrapped nice, but I never thought about it's wrapped in aluminum foil. That's fine. Easier to open. But my tradition wasn't this beautiful, gorgeous wrapping paper that my wife can wrap in. My tradition was wrap it best you can and open it on Christmas Day. That was the tradition. But when we think about Jesus' birth, the Old Testament revealed his birth. The Old Testament revealed the town that he was going to be born in. The Old Testament revealed the fact that it was going to be a virgin who was going to conceive. We see all that in Isaiah and hundreds of prophecies about Jesus. And I want you to understand this. If even one of them, of the hundreds of prophecies that were told about Jesus, if just one of them had not come true, if just one of them had failed, the whole Bible would be thrown out. If we can't believe one part of the Bible, we can't believe any of the Bible. But Jesus came just as the Word of God predicted, just as tradition predicted, and we can take rest in that, we can take peace in that, we can take hope in that, that the baby fulfilled the Word of God because he was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and that Word was God. This morning, are you thankful? We're going to finish up early, so I hope you don't mind with all those cookies out there waiting for us. But are you thankful this morning that he not only shopped for your gift, he was willing to come and seek and to save you. He not only paid for it with his life, but he's also wrapped it especially for you to enjoy. And again, I don't know how you wrap your gifts at your home, but you, most of you take some kind of time, whether you go to the elaborate extreme of Cheryl or not, but most of you wrap your gift or your gifts. Are you grateful not only that he was wrapped in swaddling cloths and laid in a manger to fulfill the word of God, but he was ultimately wrapped in death wrapping for you, that he loves you that much? Think about that gift this morning as we close in prayer and as we will be singing Silent Night in a moment. But be thankful for the wrapping that this Son of God took on. Father, we are so grateful this morning for the love that Mary had for you, that she was willing to endure the mockery, the misunderstanding, Lord, probably the accusations that were flung her way for being a virgin and carrying a child. I'm sure a lot of people didn't want to believe that because it had never been done before. And yet, she loved you. She willingly set aside her plans, maybe for her life and her hopes as a young woman, to be the mother of Jesus. And then, Lord, we think 33 years later of what you went through to be wrapped in those death cloths for us. Again, as we say, that sign on our announcements, the season was the Christmas tree, the reason was the cross. And we think today of what all is wrapped up in that. We think of the battle behind the scenes of Satan hating you, of Satan hating you at your birth, didn't want that to happen, hating you at the death, didn't want to see you walk out of the tomb. But Lord, we are so grateful this morning for the great gift of Jesus and that indescribable gift that he gave us. And Lord, we just pray that this Christmas season would just mean so much more to us today than maybe it ever has in the past, that we are just so in love with you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sing one verse of Silent Night. Come back on Wednesday night.
And we'll sing all the verses on Wednesday night. So bring some people with you. Okay? So the first verse.